Mark chapter 2 and the short passage beginning with verse 13. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Amen. This is the word of God for us this morning. Let's bow our heads and pray for a moment. Father God, we pray as we look at your word this morning, words which may well be familiar to many of us, we pray that you would help us to see the truths contained within them. Lord, that we would be encouraged in heart today, that we might be challenged and changed today. Father God, we long to be the people you have called us to be. So Lord, speak to us through your word, to speaker and to listener alike. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, felt the call of the Lord to go on to the streets of London and begin ministering to the street people, he stood in a Methodist conference, at the meeting they were having, and he requested permission from the presiding bishop to be released from his church to go into the streets and to preach. The bishop heard the request and denied it, telling Booth that he would not waste a man of his education and talent on street people. Upon hearing this, Booth sat down, resigned to defeat. His wife, behind every good man there's a better woman, isn't there? His wife was seated in the balcony because women weren't allowed on the first floor. She stood up and she leaned over the rail. She called to her husband and told him to listen to God and not to man. She vowed to stand by her husband's side. She came down from the balcony. Booth took her by the arm and they left the building to go into the streets to win people to Jesus. He was ready to quit, but his wife, a lady who usually stood in the background, stepped out of the shadow of her husband to hold up his arms at a critical time in his life. Many souls were saved. Many lives were changed in England and around the world because William Booth and his wife were willing to cross the line to reach the lost. They weren't put off by those who cast scorn on what he wanted to do. They weren't put off by the party poopers who couldn't see the value in what he was doing. They crossed the line to reach out to the lost. And you know, I praise our Lord Jesus Christ that he crossed the line to reach out and to save me. This morning, as we return to our series in Mark's Gospel, thinking about who is Jesus, we come to a time when the party poopers came out against Jesus. Jesus is fresh from teaching and healing. His priority has always been the preaching of the good news, and he's performed some miracles along the way to show the power that he comes with. Power from on high, power from God. Not everyone gets who Jesus is and what he is up to. The religious leaders in particular don't understand, and in fact they are wary of Jesus. The main reason for their wariness is their religiosity, which shows their lack of faith and their trust in God. And in this situation this morning, we see them come to a party and act like some of those party poopers. So you'll excuse the MIDI, the modern language there, as a title for our sermon this morning. But we've all seen people like that, haven't we? People who spoil a good party. People who don't get what we are about. People who cannot see the merit in reaching out to the lost. People who are happy with things as they are and don't want outsiders in. People who can't see a new and a different way of doing things. And so they act like party poopers. They scorn, they pour scorn on the ideas. They criticize those that are doing things. My prayer is that we will not be found like them, but that we might be found like Booth and his wife. And willingly, we will cross the line to reach out to the lost. The first thing we notice here in Mark chapter 2 in verse 13 is a person. It always starts with a person, with a human being, with a friend, with a colleague, with a fellow student, even with someone we might not even know particularly well. Jesus is interested in people. God made them, each and every one. He's watched as humanity has ruined his perfect creation and wandered away from him. He longs that people would come back to him, but he knew we couldn't do it on our own, which is why he sent Jesus into the world. And Jesus deals with people. He deals with ordinary people. He's already called Simon and Andrew, James and John to come follow me. He's taught people in the synagogue and in their houses. He's healed people, casting out evil spirits, healing fevers, dealing with skin diseases, making people walk. He is interested in people. How interested are we in people? I'm not talking about those we know and love, those here within the church family. I take that as a given. I'm talking about how interested are we in people outside the church, people outside the kingdom of God. Do we spend time with people? Do we invite them to share life with us? Do we actively reach out to them, befriend them, point them to Jesus? We don't need to be evangelists or missionaries or even pastors to do that. We can all do that. Well, Jesus is interested in people. He's down by the lake again. Verse 13, once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. The last time we read of him being down by the lake, he was meeting with Simon and Andrew, and he called them to put down their nets to come follow him, to become fishers of men. He called his first disciples, and now he's down by the lake again, and he's about to call another person to come and to be his disciple. As is usual by now, as Jesus went down by the lake, there's a crowd gathering around him, and Jesus sits down. And he talks to them. He begins to teach them, it says. I love it how Jesus, when saw the people gathered round, and he taught them. Whenever people were around him, he sought to share something of the kingdom of God with them. He sought to share something of God's word. He sought to share something of himself. You know, in our lives, we often invite people round for dinner or for coffee, or we meet them in town, or we go out for a walk, or we do all kinds of things together. But do we actually teach each other? How often do our conversations ever turn to spiritual matters? We're quick to talk about the football. We're quick to talk about how great it was that Hibs managed to come back from 3-0 down and get into another cup final. Sorry, I just had to throw that one in there. I was just upset, Robert. It's okay. We talk about the football. We talk about the weather. We talk about our families. We talk about our jobs, and that's all good. But how often do we talk about spiritual matters? How often do we talk about the things of the Lord? What he's doing in our life? What we're reading in his word? What we're learning together? In Deuteronomy 6, in that great passage speaking of bringing up our children well, it's a parenting passage, but it's a passage that we can all learn from. It says there that as parents are to teach their children the commandments of God, when you sit at home, when you lie down, when you're walking along the road, when you get up, that's when you're to teach your kids. You're to teach your kids all the time the things of God. You're to talk to them about spiritual matters. And so friends, when we gather together, when we gather to have coffee, when we gather to have lunch, when we gather to go for a walk, when we gather to play games, when we gather together as little pockets of believers,
Let's be talking about what God's doing in our lives. Let's be using them as teaching moments that we might encourage one another along the path. Having done some teaching, Jesus begins to walk along further. Perhaps he's still teaching as he goes. As he walks along, look what happens. Verse 14, as he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. Jesus sees a person and immediately he speaks to him and calls him to follow him. Now, tax collectors were not the most popular people in the world. Since Capernaum was on the caravan route between east and west, a lot of trade traffic passed through the town. Taxes were collected on almost everything that passed through that town. Taxes would be levied on the fish that they even caught in the Sea of Galilee. Levi had probably collected taxes from Peter and Andrew and James and John. Levi was a tax collector. He worked for the Roman government, collecting taxes for the empire. The Romans came up with a tax quota for each province. They allowed the nobles to bid for the contracts to collect the taxes. And as long as they met their quota, Rome didn't care how much they actually collected. So these nobles hired locals to collect the taxes for them, and they weren't really bothered as long as they got what they needed. So as a result, tax collectors became very rich as they overcharged people. They paid Rome and they kept the difference for themselves. Because Levi was a tax collector for Rome, he was among the most despised people in all of Israel. He was viewed as a traitor to his people and to his nation. As a tax collector, he'd be isolated in his community. He wouldn't have been allowed to go to the temple or to the synagogues. He was a social outcast who could only socialise with other tax collectors and rank sinners. I love how some of the commentators talk about that, rank sinners. That doesn't mean they're rank rotten, as I might say. That means they graded sin. God doesn't grade sin. It doesn't matter if it's a little white lie or if it's murder. It's sin against God. Levi is a wicked man, probably. He's defiled. He's despised. He's probably disillusioned and he's a disappointment. In other words, Levi doesn't have an awful lot to commend himself to the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet Jesus crosses the line and he reaches out to this person. Jesus sees a person, not a tax collector, not a dishonest rogue, not an outcast. He sees a person and he deals with that person. And Jesus calls Levi with that remarkable phrase, that famous phrase, "Follow me." And clearly God's already been at work in Levi's life before Jesus passed by that day. He had probably heard about Jesus preaching. He'd heard about the miracles. He'd heard about the changed lives. He knew that what God had done for others, God would do for him. When Jesus came calling, Levi was ready to follow. And I love how Levi responds. He leaves his tax booth. He leaves his job. He leaves his income. He leaves his potential wealth there. And he follows Jesus. But not only does he follow Jesus, this person throws a party. He throws a party. Levi invites Jesus round for dinner and also has a whole load of his friends around with him as well. Levi's ready to leave behind his old way of life and to follow Jesus. And so he invites Jesus. He invites some of the other disciples. He clearly wants to get to know them better and to listen to more of Jesus' teaching. The best way to get to know people is by spending time with them, isn't it? One of the joys of moving to a new church, and I've been thinking on this a lot because I've been thinking how old Andrew is. He was 10 when we came here 8 years ago. One of the joys of coming to a new church is getting to know people, get invited out for dinner and out for coffee. And that's still one of the things that I love in my role as your pastor, spending time with folks. So invite me around for dinner. I'll be blatantly blunt. We'll invite you round for dinner too. We'll have coffee, we'll talk, we'll share, we'll get to know each other. Do you know, one of the great things last weekend wasn't just preaching for my mate Scott and his church and giving him a Sunday off, but one of the great things was spending time with him and his family, who we haven't seen for a while, catching up, developing that relationship. Are you in the habit of having folks round? Are you in the habit of meeting with people? It doesn't need to be a party. Just invite them round. Spend time with them. This was some party though. Because not only were Levi's new friends there, not only was it Jesus and the disciples he was desperate to know, not only was it Jesus he was desperate to hear more from, but he also invited his old friends. And look at how Mark describes them in verse 15. Many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples. It's fine saying tax collectors because that's who Levi was. And there were some of they were the only people he could hang about with before, were the tax collectors. But they were ostracized by many in their society. Just the mere mention of the tax man today, and I can still see people shivering, smiling, thinking, that's what happens, isn't it? Back then it was even worse. They were hated in society. But sinners is a more interesting term for us. The word was used here to refer to prostitutes and to those who didn't observe the strict religious rules of the scribes and Pharisees. Instead, it spoke of being wicked. What a mix of people were in that house that day at this party. Levi hosted a party as an opportunity to say farewell to his old life, but also as an opportunity to introduce his friends to Jesus. His life is changing, and he wants everyone else to know about it. He wants his friends to meet Jesus. He wants them to experience the same change of life that he himself is experiencing. Now, I don't know about you, but when I first became a Christian as a teenager, I wanted to keep that to myself. For some reason, I was scared of what people would say and what people would think about me. Levi's not scared in the slightest. He gets right out there. He throws a party for his old friends and his new friends. He's readily announcing his newfound faith. He wants his friends to come and to meet Jesus. I wonder how excited and interested we are in bringing our friends and our colleagues to Jesus. Did you invite them to our Adult Mission Week last October? Do you invite them to special occasions in the life of the church, or even just the church in general? Do you have them round for a meal and a chat about your faith? This verse finds Jesus in a setting that few so-called good people would have been in. When you think about the people who were invited to that dinner, you get an idea of the atmosphere. There were tax collectors and all kinds of others who were ranked as rank sinners, the worst of the worst. Where you have sinners, you've got the potential for sin. Jesus didn't partake of their wicked ways, but he didn't isolate himself from sinners either. He spent time with them in an effort to win them. And what a contrast to church by and large. We build our buildings. We erect our walls, we put up our signs, and we sit back down and wait for the lost to come in. It's not what Jesus did. He went where the lost were. He won their confidence and he changed their lives. Jesus is interested in people. He sees a person. He's interested in individual people. This individual person, Levi, threw a party that Jesus went to. And this party causes a bit of a problem. Causes a problem for the religious leaders, which in turn would be a problem for Jesus. Remember the setting in the scene. Here is Jesus, who has been teaching about the kingdom of God, and he's sitting down now with the social outcasts. He's supping with sinners. He's dining with the despised. He's talking with tax collectors. And this is a problem for the religious elite. They've made a way of shunning the sinners and having nothing to do with them. They've enjoyed mixing with their own class, with people who think and act like they do. And so they act like party poopers here. Here comes the scorn. Verse 16, when the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat? Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? They could not understand it. The scribes and the Pharisees would never have spent time with sinners. They were strict in their observance of the Mosaic law. They were also very strict in their observance of the oral traditions handed down by the Jews. They followed a moral code that was nearly impossible to keep.
You know, there was one group of Pharisees known as the blind and the bleeding Pharisees who would put blindfolds on themselves whenever they left their homes. These men, these male Pharisees were so afraid of seeing a woman and having lust in their hearts that they walked around in the dark, often falling and getting injured. Such were some of the strictest sense of the moral codes they were trying to put in place for themselves. These men would never have been caught dead having dinner with a bunch of tax collectors and sinners. And yet that's what Jesus does. And we don't get this easily in our English translations, but the tense of that word eating could actually be translated, why does he always eat with tax collectors and sinners? Why does he always hang around them? They're trying to put a spin on this situation. They want the situation to seem worse than it is. They wanted it to seem like Jesus had spent all his time with sinners. They tried to make it sound as if Jesus was a sinner too. The scribes and Pharisees attacked Jesus for spending time with the wrong kind of people. Their criticism, actually, brothers and sisters, was a bit of a compliment. I thank God that Jesus is the friend of sinners. On account of this, he is my friend too, and yours. On account of the fact that he went to the cross and laid down his life that we might take up ours, he died to forgive our sin. I am glad he hung out with sinners. You know, some may have an issue with me having an evening with the birds, an evening with the pastor and the birds and the bees. Do you know that's 2 weeks running? Let's stop and rewind again. That's 2 weeks running when my mouth moves faster than my brain. Last week, just to cheer you up a little bit, last week I was talking about being a frail and weak human being, except it came out as I'm a freak. And I had to quickly correct myself. But it was another good teaching moment for the folks at Harvest to remind them that we are different. And so I don't have an evening with the birds. I don't think my wife would allow me to. And I already have the best of the bunch anyway, so it's okay. Redeem myself a little bit. Gather my thoughts. But you know, some people have an issue with the pastor going to the birds and the bees and hanging out with people. And yet prior to Christmas, as I was in one night, I had a chat with a lad who lives on the street here, who a few weeks later, his father passed away, and who was he able to turn to? The pastor who he knew from the church, who could support and encourage the family. I chatted to some of the bar staff that day. I was in this week with a bunch of my colleagues having a meeting, coffee and lunch together, and during that, able to have a simple conversation with the guy behind the bar who I've come to know, and have a conversation about why would a bunch of ministers meet together and have lunch, and the opportunities to share something of faith in the midst. Results aren't always instant these days, but relationships build up over time, and opportunity is there to share our faith. We need to be where people are, and that can be dangerous. And so I do need to encourage you, if you're going into these places, have folks praying for you as you go in, so that you're not tempted by some of the sin that is around you. But be where the people are. There's a problem here. There's a problem here. The first time these religious men criticised the Lord, they did so in their hearts, back in verses 6 and 7. We thought about that last time, didn't we? This time they're bolder. This time, instead of just thinking it in their heads and their hearts, this time they come to Jesus' disciples and they bring their criticisms to them. Friends, it won't be long before we discover in Mark's gospel that they're bold enough that they attack Jesus to his face. Jesus hears about all of this, though. He's God's son. He's God in human flesh. Whether he overheard the conversation, whether his disciples came to him, whether he just knew, it doesn't really matter. He knew what was going on, and he responds to them. And so this problem, Jesus then makes a proclamation. When Jesus heard their criticisms, he didn't allow them to go unchallenged. In fact, Jesus makes a bold pronouncement that will define his approach to reaching the world. Jesus tells them once again why he has come, and he does it in clear and simple terms. It's not the healthy, he says in verse 17, who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come for the righteous. I've not come for those who think they are good. I've not come for those who think they're walking the walk. I have come for sinners.
I have come for those who do not yet know the Master. Interestingly, Luke, in his recording of the encounter, also puts in the word repentance at the end of the sentence. And that's what Mark would preach as well, isn't it? In Mark 1:15, Jesus says, "Repent and believe the good news." We call sinners. We call sinners to repentance. We call them to turn from their sin and to turn to the Saviour and to walk in His ways. In these two sentences, Jesus is reminding us of His reasons for coming to earth, to save the lost, to help those who are in need. The truth is, we all need a doctor. We all need saved. The Bible reminds us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. We've all done things wrong. Yes, you have. Even if you don't think you have, I have. And the punishment for sin is death. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But there's a wonderful but in there. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He came to heal the sick. He came to save the sinner. The trouble for the Pharisees here is that they didn't recognize themselves as sinners and in need of help. In life today, many still think they're doing okay. They don't need Jesus. But we all need Jesus, for it's only through His blood shed for our sins that our sins can be wiped away. Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. And the Pharisees just couldn't see it. Jesus' proclamation was also a rebuke to them. They saw themselves as being special and righteous. And in being like that, they despised the sinners. They looked down on them. They thought them unworthy to talk with or share with. Jesus reminds them that God loves each and every single individual. Doesn't matter which social sphere they come from. Doesn't matter their job. It doesn't matter their upbringing. God loves each and every one. Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. Our task as believers is to be doing the same. In order to do that, we need to be amongst the people, sharing with them, eating with them, talking with them, and yes, sharing with them the love of Jesus. It's time to stop being party poopers and time to be engaging with people. As I said last week, to my daughter's delight, parties, have parties. But we're not wanting parties the way the world sometimes views parties. We're wanting parties as a way to bring people in and to share life with them. And in sharing life with them, to share with them something of the love of Jesus. We can no longer wait for people to come into the church, friends. Sometimes happens. Doesn't mean it can't happen. But by and large, the time for people coming into church of their own volition is gone. We have got to go to them. The scribes and the Pharisees are like a lot of religious people in our day. They are willing to sit back and to wait for the lost to come to them for help. Jesus, on the other hand, was making house calls. Back to the doctors and the children's story, back to the days when the doctor came to your house. Jesus went to where the sick were. He reached out to them. May we be more like Jesus. Let's get out there, day in and day out. Let's be sharing the love of Jesus with them. And let's be calling them, as Mark has been teaching us, to repent and to believe the good news. Let's pray together. Father God, we come humbly before you this morning, recognizing at times our weakness, recognizing at times our thought patterns and feelings, recognizing at times our willingness to come here and to worship you, but Lord, that lack of willingness to reach out to others. Lord, help us to make opportunities and to take opportunities. Help us to be sharing with people we work with, people we live with, people we socialise with. Help us to be sharing with them everyday life. Help us to be sharing with them as well our love for you and our faith in you. Father God, help us to be sharing with them how much you have changed our lives and transformed us as we turn from our sin and as we followed you. And Lord, our prayer is that you would give us the boldness to do that.
And as we do that, Lord, that we might see lives changed and transformed around us. Help us to not wait for people to come in here, but help us to go out there and to be what the people are. Help us to share with them. Help us to love them. Help us to care for them. Help us above all to care about their spiritual well-being. Lord, help us to share Jesus with others. Lord, as we continue to consider this message during this afternoon and this evening and on into this week, as we think through it again and again and again, Lord, would you highlight the areas that individually we need to deal with? Would you highlight the areas that we as a church family need to grasp and to grapple with and to do, that we would better be the people you have called us to be? Father God, work in our hearts, work in our minds, work in our lives. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.